Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Before I begin, how many know that moments just like we're experiencing in His presence right now, you can have them in places that are outside of these walls? Yesterday morning, I had gotten up early, and everybody else was still asleep, and so there was a few things I needed to pick up from Lowe's. So I thought, man, I'll go to Lowe's. And so I went to Lowe's, and then I did an impromptu stop by Kroger as well. And those aren't commercial ads, for those who are wondering, just how it happened. Kind of ran into a unique situation at Kroger, and I was standing there wondering if there was something that I was to do in the situation or just learn and observe. And I was just learning and observing. I didn't feel like the Lord prompted me to do anything. But then as I left Kroger and I began to drive back to the house, I just had worship music on lightly. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't alone in the car anymore. Anybody ever had those moments? Those moments that just like we experienced here. And so I drove home, which only took me probably about 8 minutes. But then I sat in the car for about another 15, just in the driveway, because He was there in that moment and I didn't want to miss being with Him. Amen. How many knows that God has those moments, not just for when we're here, but He has those moments for us in other places, in other situations. Amen. How many are thankful for the presence of the Lord this morning? Well, He deserves a little more than that. All right. Have you ever met that special person? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, a coworker. Maybe your employer. Maybe it's just a perfect stranger who, for all intents and purposes, are a relatively good and decent person. But they're a buzzkill. They're a party pooper. They're the naysayer, the cynic, the pessimist. Or maybe they have been gifted enough to elevate themselves to the level of dream killer. You see, in my days as a youth pastor, I was often defined and described as a dream killer. Was there any truth to such statements and accusations? Absolutely there was, undeniably. And I can't go into the detail of it, but it was constructive dream killing, if you will, all right? And that's not part of my sermon necessarily this morning. Just felt like I should add that in. You see, life can and does bring dream killer people into our lives, amen? But it also brings dream killer moments and or seasons where what we're facing really isn't a specific person as much as it is a specific problem. These moments and seasons both kind of creep in or barge in to our lives, and most often they are uninvited and unwelcomed. Now, occasionally, those moments are produced because we're reaping what we have sown. But most often, these moments come and they're very much just unwelcome and uninvited. They're just those factors of life that we can't control. You see, these dream killer moments, whether, again, they're people or problems, usually have at least one common goal or purpose, and that is to discourage us. How many have ever been up on a high, and then the dream killer steps in and just brings you low? Shut up, Chase. That was in love, because he was one of my youth when I was a youth pastor, and I killed a lot of his dreams. And I don't say that with pride, but if I hadn't have killed those dreams, I would like to tell myself today that he wouldn't be standing here as our youth pastor today doing the good job that he's doing, all right? And again, we're not going to get back there, so you stay quiet through this sermon, all right? You see, their hope is to disturb our faith, to deprive us of our confidence and trust and assurance in God, to dishearten and or hinder our purpose in Christ, to dissuade or at least attempt to dissuade us from putting all of our faith into action for the kingdom of God. Anybody ever been met with discouragement? You see, discouragement comes in many shapes and sizes. It impacts the wealthy and those in poverty equally or just the same. It does not take into consideration our age, our gender, or our education, or the lack thereof this morning. It does not care what our social status is or how many followers that we have on social media or what our ethnicity is or what it isn't. Discouragement has no regard, no respect, and no reservations as it attempts to erode our dreams and destroy our design and our destiny in God through Jesus Christ. Now, there are some who would like to say that discouragement doesn't exist in the life of a Christian or a Christ follower. But the truth is, discouragement does exist, and it is relentlessly employed by the enemy of our soul in an attempt to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? You see, but that doesn't mean that we as the body of Christ, as Christ followers, should surrender to, make room for, or allow discouragement to take up residence in our lives, whether that's temporarily or permanently. And I had no idea that Steve was going to say what he said this morning. But how many knows discouragement does come, but we can't live there. We can't stay there. It's momentary. It should be momentary. You see, we at times do, in fact, contend with discouragement. And again, it comes in all shapes and sizes and from people we love and people we kind of like and people we wish the Lord would just go ahead and do something with. You see, but as children of God, discouragement will try its best to weaken, to cripple, and even paralyze any and every God-related dream or desire, if you will, that is inside of us, that has been birthed inside of us, or God-breathed inside of us, inspired by God, enkindled by God, through His Holy Spirit or through His Holy Word this morning. And when we begin to, how many have ever been in that moment and like, again, and I don't, yesterday was an example, but life does this often. I have been in those moments where God, I just had that moment with the Lord, and it was just such an amazing moment. And you're just lifted in your spirit. Everything about you, you're just like, man, this day can't go wrong. And then you walk into that next door, and it's like distort, poof, it like punches you right in the throat. And you're like, I love you, Lord. That's what it does. Anybody ever been, or is it just me? Where you're like, man, this can't get any better. And then you're like, man, this day can't get any worse. Because all of a sudden, discouragement has found a place to work. So how do we guard those God-given dreams and desires? How do we defend our God-centered or our God-focused dreams and desires? Those things that we have for the Lord. How do we help protect ourselves against the lies of discouragement? I want to take you to Psalms chapter 42 this morning. And the Lord literally just kind of stuck me in Psalms 42 this week. And I couldn't get out of it or away from it. And I want to begin with verse 1 this morning. It says, I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. Desire, it's right there. Amen? He's on that spiritual, and I hate using the term necessarily, but he's on that spiritual high. He's in the moment, and he is pouring it all out, and he feels, and he is good. And then discouragement. Let's look at verse 3. It says, day and night my tears keep falling and my heart keeps crying for your help while my enemies mock me over and over saying, where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you? So I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front leading the procession of praise, when the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord. You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air, and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the festival of the Lord. So then, my soul, Why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for living before his face is my saving grace. If you go to 2 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 6, you will find what David is referencing here, where they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant of God back to Jerusalem. As we look back at verse 1 and 2, again, we can clearly see that the psalmist, his heart in this moment is just full of desire. I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see your face. There was a desire, there's a longing for, a crying out for, a craving to know more of God, to experience more of him, to be in his presence, to glean more of who he was. You see, spiritual desire creates a beautiful aroma before God. Spiritual desire creates a beautiful aroma before God, but it is that same beautiful aroma that also seems to trigger and dispatch discouragement into our present situations with the hopes of destroying every ounce of spiritual desire that we may have in those moments. Again, we see it immediately in verse 3. Discouragement showing up. It says, day and night my tears keep falling and my heart keeps crying for your help while my enemies mock me over and over, saying, where is your God? Why doesn't he help you? Anybody ever been in those types of moments where all you can hear is what discouragement has to say and it seems to be the loudest voice in the room? It seems to be the prevailing thought in your mind. You see, discouragement loves to try and lessen our trust and confidence and hope in God. It loves to try to diminish our perspective of who God is and his ability to move in us or on our behalf. It loves to increase and elevate our circumstances, our challenges, our temptations, our test of faith in an attempt to make them seem bigger and stronger and more present than he is. And I think if we were all honest with ourselves this morning, we have found ourselves at one time or another in those very moments where discouragement is battling that seed of faith that is inside of us. So if spiritual desires or spiritual dreams attract discouragement, if spiritual desire or, again, spiritual dreams cause discouragement to try and overshadow who God is and what he is capable of doing in us and through us, then shouldn't we just skip all of the mess by foregoing any sort of spiritual dream and desire? Wouldn't it be easy to just have no desire, no dream? Just say, Lord, I give you my heart. I hope to see you in heaven. Amen. Absolutely not. That doesn't make any sense this morning, right? Why would we, as blood-bought children of the living God, surrender any of our kingdom promises, privileges, blessings, empowerment, or birthright? Why would we do that just because discouragement has tried to come in and tell us something that is counter to what we currently believe? You see, why would we strive for anything less than the abundant life that we are promised in Jesus Christ this morning? Why would we settle for anything less than that which he is able to do, which is, again, according to his words, far more abundantly than we can ask or think or imagine, according to his power that works in us? Again, Ephesians 3:20, I want to read that same verse, but I want to read it from the Passion Translation this morning. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. So that means even when discouragement is at its best, God is still at his better, right? I don't know if that's proper English, but I used it. If it's not, teachers, tell me afterwards, all right? You see, when discouragement comes to disassemble and devour our spiritual desires and dreams, that's when we need to step up to the plate. That's when we need to raise the bar, so to speak. You see, in those moments, that's when we need to go to battle in prayer. That's when we need to speak faith and declare to ourselves and to discouragement who God really is and who we are in him. Because again, how many knows it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I think that's exactly what we see the psalmist do here, beginning in verse 4 and 5. It says, "So I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front leading the procession of praise, when the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord. You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air, and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the festival of the Lord. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior, for no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for living before his face is my saving grace." You see, he had desire, discouragement showed up, but then he began to speak faith. He began to declare what he knew, even though discouragement was trying to combat that which he knew. How many knows we have that same right and privilege today? You see, David began to declare with his words and with his worship. It says, "So I speak over my heartbroken soul." In verse 5, he says, "No matter what, I will still sing with praise." So he approached discouragement again with his words and with his worship. How many know today we need to be approaching those moments and seasons and times of discouragement in the exact same fashion? With God's word of truth and with our worship to him today. You see, declaration is spoken faith, born of experience and expectation, which fuels our internal spiritual desires, or it creates that spiritual appetite or hunger, that passion, that zeal that we have for the Lord. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 21, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled." He said, blessed are you who hunger now or presently in the moment, because you will be filled, you will be satisfied. What discouragement wants us to forget is that those who stay hungry for the Lord will indeed be filled, and filled to the point of satisfaction and abundance. What did David say in Psalms 23? He said, "My cup runneth over." Discouragement wants to say we can only have the last few drops in the cup. But God says, "No, I've come to fill your cup." And P.S., not just fill your cup, but let it overflow. And how many knows that God, when he comes in those moments and we begin to overflow, that overflow spreads to other people's lives. And it begins to fill their cup, and their cup begins to overflow. Amen? We must remember that we have an advantage that discouragement cannot take away. This morning, we have an advantage that discouragement cannot take away, something that can never be altered or changed. We have experience. Everybody say experience. You see, we have our own experiences with the Lord. We have the experiences of others. How many knows? I believe that's why the Bible tells us that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. How many knows what we have experienced in God has power? Amen. So we have our experience. We have those encounters with God where we have witnessed and experienced salvation, grace, love, deliverance, freedom, protection, provision, blessing, favor, healing, and many other unmentioned moments that are completely unforgettable and undeniable. There are many things in my life that no matter what someone else tells me, it will not take away the fact of what God has done for me in my life. You can tell me that you don't believe it, that I'm making it up, that I'm using it as a crutch. You can do whatever you want, but I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord is good. He is faithful, and he is who he says he is, and you cannot take that from me, nor can I take that from you this morning. Amen? You see, they're unforgettable. They're undeniable. We are able to remain steadfast in refusing to surrender our spiritual dreams and desires to discouragement. We are able to stand firm in declaring the character and the ability of God, even in the face of discouragement, when we choose to remember. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, okay, some of y'all were asleep. I appreciate the four that were awake, but now that we have everybody, look at you and say, hey, now I went through all that and I can't remember what I want you to say. Hey, it was remember. When the enemy employs discouragement, that's when we employ remembering. When the enemy employs discouragement, that's when we begin to employ remembering. David said to himself, remember when. Remember when, all right? And you see, as he began to make himself think about the past, he said, remember when you were the one setting the pace and giving God the glory he deserves. Remember when you and the whole congregation found yourself surrounded by the power and the presence of the Lord. Remember when you shouted for joy with unbridled passion in honor of who God was. He was making himself not look at his current situation, but he wanted to go back to a moment that was undeniable, that was unforgettable. And as he began to go back to that, something began to transpire and happen. How many knows it's okay to go back and remember when? Come on. Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever just get in your prayer closet or in your alone time with God and you start thanking him for one thing, but by the time you're done thanking him for one thing, you're thanking him for another thing? And by the time you're done with that, you're thanking him for another thing, because the more that you remember what he has done for you, the greater your praise becomes in that current moment. You see, remembering the praise of our past will provide a present praise which will position our future praise. Let me say that again this morning. Remembering the praise of our past will provide a present praise which will position our future praise. Our praise, our testimony, or the plural version thereof, are like compounding interest, if you will, this morning. So the more that we remember, the more that we declare, the more that we praise, the more that we invest, the greater the balance in that account becomes. How many love compounding interest? If you love compounding interest, try compounding praise. It's amazing this morning. You see, then in that moment, the glory of God, our perception of God, our worship of God begins to exponentially increase, which ultimately outshines whatever it is that discouragement is trying to do in the battle that we're facing in that moment. You see, what happens is discouragement in that moment thinks he's bringing the greater weapon. But how many know this morning, praise is a greater weapon. What happens is discouragement shows up with a knife to a gunfight situation. And we're like, dude, what are you talking about? You're outnumbered. You're outgunned. You see, remembering the praise of our past, speaking faith and singing praise in our present storm will not only sustain us through our current storm, but it will also shelter and strengthen us for the journey that lies ahead. And how many knows we're not done yet? We're here, we have breath in our body, we're not done yet. So remembering the praise of our past, it has a multiplying effect. When we look at this, we can see that it also causes us again to declare or to speak life, to speak faith. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it eat the fruit of it, for death or life. How many know sometimes we're at an advantage because we can't speak life? We're at a disadvantage because we can't speak faith. All we can speak is the negativity of the moment. We are that spiritual pessimist or dream killer. But you see, this says that the fruit will be in what we speak. So let's speak life. Let's speak faith this morning. Amen. Over our marriages, over our homes, over our community, over our government. Amen. Let's speak life. It also causes us to take courage, because we know that God himself is with us. Just as he said in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. He said, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. Again, discouragement thinks it has the advantage, but he is outnumbered and outgunned. How many knows if what we're walking through it with the Lord going ahead of us, coming behind us, on every side of us? How many knows we just need to stay in step with him? And if we stay in step with him, he will never fail us or abandon us. So take courage, speak faith, speak life. As we remember the praise of our past and declare it in our present, what we are doing is really we are remembering him. We are remembering God. We're remembering his glory and his goodness. We're remembering his power and his presence. We're remembering the kindness and compassion of his love. We're remembering his value and his worth, which causes us to worship him holistically or with every portion of our life. We're remembering to come before him in prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. You see, when we begin to remember the praise of our past, it shifts the things in our present, and it prepares better things for our future. You see, all of this leads us to greater statements and declarations of faith, like we see happen in David's life here in verse 11. He sums this up by saying, "So I say to my soul," again, he's speaking life, he's speaking faith, he's remembering, "Don't be discouraged. Don't be disturbed, for I know my God will break through for me. Then I'll have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, living before his face is my saving grace." That makes me way more excited than it seems to make you all this morning. I don't know about you, but sometimes we just need to speak life. We need to speak faith. We need to take courage because he's already, what, overcome this world, right? And so we need to understand the advantage that we have over the discouragements of life. And we need to speak life to ourselves. How many knows David at Ziklag, everything was probably in the worst situation he could ever have been in. And he had nobody around him that was willing to be that support. Nobody else around him willing to be the help. And so in that moment, the word tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Some days, your spouse might not be able to be the one who helps. Your children might not be able to be the one who helps. Your pastor might not be able to be the one who helps. There may be a day where discouragement is so overwhelming and so in your face that it's going to have to be you who encourage yourself in the Lord and understand who he is and who you are in him. Amen? And you have to believe in that moment that I know my God will break through for me. Amen? You see, remember the praise of your past. Let it be in that moment exactly what it needs to be. If you will, stand with me this morning. Remember the praise of your past. Let it be fuel for your present praise. Speak life. My mom used to tell me, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. We need to practice that in our spiritual life as well. We elevate everything but him sometimes. Let's refuse that. Let's make sure that we're speaking life this morning. Let's take courage no matter how dark the valley or storm may seem this morning. We have to know in this moment that God will be our breakthrough just as he has been our breakthrough in days gone by. Is there anybody here this morning that you could raise your hand and say, "Nope, God has never been my breakthrough. He's never brought me through the valley. He's never been good. He's never been faithful. He's never been merciful to me. He's never expressed compassion or mercy or provision or blessing or favor." Is there anyone that can say that this morning? How many knows if he's done it for us then, he will do it for us now? You see, what we need to do is we need to live a life of compounding praise through every season, through every storm. Because every day we wake up, we should have more reasons to praise him all over again. David said, "Hey, I'm going to do this. I know that God will be my breakthrough. And then I'll have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again." As we move forward, we should never be found short of a moment to praise him. If God stopped right now on October 11th of 2020, and he, for our definition, did nothing more favorable for our lives, how many knows he is still worthy because of who he is and what he has already done. Now, I don't believe that he's going to shut up those doors of blessing. I believe he loves to give good gifts to his children. So this morning, where do we stand in that equation? Are we going to allow discouragement to take an advantage that does not belong? Or are we going to stand on the rock of Christ Jesus and declare that we know who God is and we know who we are in him? Are we going to confess, speak life? Speak that fact that I know God will be my breakthrough again. Speak that fact that, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to give him praise now because I'm anticipating that breakthrough. How many know sometimes we need to praise before we have the answer? Amen? Father, I thank you this morning for your word. God, I thank you that when life brings discouragement, you have already given us exactly what we need to defeat discouragement in our lives. God, will we wrestle with discouragement? Yes. Will we battle it at times? Absolutely. There will be moments where we have to contend with discouragement. But God, help us as children of God. Help us as Christ followers to understand that that is not our place of birthright. But God, our place of birthright is with you, next to your Son, God, who is our resurrected Savior, God, who holds the keys to death and hell, God, who is seated at the right hand of your throne today, making intercession for us. And God, he has made us joint heirs. God, help us to remember today. Help us to look discouragement in the face and say, not today, Satan. Because my God has been my breakthrough, and he will forever be my breakthrough. I'm going to praise him for my past. I'm going to praise him for my present, and I'm going to praise him in my future. And there's nothing that you can change about that. God, help us to stand strong in Jesus Christ today. Father, I thank you for it in Christ's name. This morning, if you're struggling with discouragement, I want you to come forward and let us pray together that God will begin to make himself even more real than he already has in your life. That you will just be energized and charged. That your desire to know him will increase. That as that increases, your declaration, your praise, your testimony will begin to come forth. And what has happened in the past will be compounded with what is happening right now in the present, and it will produce something even greater for the future. If that's you, we want you to come this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come, let's pray so that you can begin to experience and encounter what we're talking about this morning. If you've just been away from his heart for a long time and you feel like he's redirecting you home this morning, we want you to just come as well. Let's pray and believe. How many knows that all of heaven rejoices when a sinner comes to repentance, and everybody gets to celebrate when the prodigal comes home? Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.